common cooperation over confrontation, understanding over hatred, and the courage to stand for peace in a time of war. Individually, our voices may not be heard, but together with neighbors, friends, families, we join the world community today to send our message. Why must we rush into war? I know that September 11th changed our world outlook forever. 3,000 citizens of the world died. The world stood with us as one in our grief and determination to bring the murderers to justice. Why aren't some of the world's leading democracies not standing with us anymore? Why? Because they believe, as I do, that we must exhaust all diplomatic channels before engaging in a military confrontation with Iraq. Let me tell you, this is not the kind of war I want to fight. I want to fight the real axis of evil, homelessness, poverty, and racism. If the president... Let's give peace a chance. My brothers and sisters, it is with great pleasure that I invite before you a real fighter, another New Yorker, an actor, a woman with passion, Rosie Perez. Rosie Perez, stop the war. Let's give peace a chance. Thank you.
What's up, New York? I can't hear you. What's up, New York?
Yo, I feel you. I feel you, people. I wanted to say this. We pay Bush's salary. We will dictate how he should govern us. I am so proud of everybody. I was so scared this morning. I'm just going to be real. I was so scared this morning. But now I'm here. I feel y'all. I feel your spirit. And I feel so brave. So brave today. I have to go, but all I want to say is, I feel so moved today. I feel like it's the 60s again. I started to feel that there were no more heroes in the world. But today, I see all of the world's heroes standing before me. Give yourself an applause, because you deserve it. You are brave. The next person I want to introduce is a woman. There's so many people that were afraid to show up today. And when I saw her face, I felt so good inside. She shows up everywhere. Everywhere. Oh, I forgot to say something. I forgot to say something. I'm sorry. Wait. This is for our children and our children's children. We need peace. And so everyone that brought their children today, hug them and know that you are leaving a legacy. And know today that you did your part. This is history today. This is history for peace.
And that was Rosie Perez, the actor, on the stage at the mass protest in New York. The world says no to war. We're here right behind the stage with Richie Havens, who opened today's protest with a song and maybe will agree to do something for us a cappella. Well, welcome, Richie.
Thank you for having me, really. Thank you. I'm glad to be here with everybody else, because I'm no different than anybody else, and that's the way it should be. We should all be here. Those who can be here, I still say, get here. you know, for that matter. But for us being here, I feel, personally, that we've already reached our goal, that we have shown enough of us mean business that this is not going to happen.
Susan Sarandon is now on the stage.
We have millions of people around the world that join with us in this demand. And as Eleanor Roosevelt said, it isn't enough to talk about peace. One must believe in it. It isn't enough to believe in it. One must work at it. And we here today are working at it. I am so very moved to be able to introduce Darryl Bodley to you. Darryl Bodley lost his only child, Deora Bodley, on September 11th, 2001, at the World Trade Center. He is a founding member of the September 11th Families for a Peaceful Tomorrow. Mr. Bodley traveled to Afghanistan to hear and see the reality faced by Afghan families who lost loved ones as the result of U.S. bombings. Joining Mr. Bodley on stage are other members of Families for Peaceful Tomorrow, Beverly Eckert, Andrew Rice, Catherine Montano, Ryan Admonson. I can't tell you how moved I am by their courage, their intelligence, and their generosity in coming here today. Please, please welcome these people now. Thank you.
Last September 11th, I stood in the fields outside of Shanksville, Pennsylvania, where Flight 93, my daughter Deora's flight, went down 1 year earlier. I greeted President Bush and the First Lady as they walked among the families. I shook his hand and I said, "Mr. President, I urge you to listen to the world leaders who are strongly advising against going down the path of war." Those leaders are still saying the same thing, but today they are joined by millions of people around the world saying no to violence. We need to turn America's great ship of state around to a course in which our nation's energies, skills, and resources are overwhelmingly devoted to making peace, not war. As Dr. King said, wars are poor chisels for carving out peaceful tomorrows. We need to develop and to demonstrate to the world the tools of understanding, respect, and love for all people. Peacefulness within our own hearts. And above all, the equitable sharing of the world's resources among all people, all life, and the world itself. These are the basic tools for building and making peace. If our toolbox is filled with these instead of hate, greed, arrogance, and violence, then we can build the whole world up instead of tearing it down. We, the September 11th Families for Peaceful Tomorrows, know this well. Traveling to Iraq last month and Afghanistan last year, we saw the graves of the victims of violence there, victims of interminable wars, bombing, and brutality. We who on September 11th lost a brother, a daughter, a sister, a mother, we met our own twins in Iraq and Afghanistan, persons there who lost a loved one just like ours. Just as much loved as ours, just as human as we are. Their grief is our grief. Their pain, their fears, and their hopes are the same as our own. We have the capacity as Americans and human beings to produce the materials of peace instead of war. We have the knowledge and resources, the tools of understanding, respect, and love to build in our own minds, our own nation, and in the world a culture of peace achieved through a peaceful means. Shall we instead rain down bombs on the people of Iraq? Shall we continue the death, destruction, and disease that has already been heaped upon Iraq? Shall we start yet? Shall we start yet another fire?
And that was Daryl Bodley. He lost his only child, Diora, on September 11th. We're here right behind the stage with Richie Havens and also Congressmember Sheila Jackson Lee.
Verna. I wanted to ask Mr. Havens, First Lady Laura Bush has actually canceled an event, a symposium at the White House this week because she had wind of the fact that many poets were going to be political in her opinion. I'm wondering, as someone who is a creative person, what your reaction was to that?
My reaction was that that's what poetry is about in the first place. That's what music is about, has come to have to be about. And of course, I kind of expected that would happen, considering that the truth is going to be told.
Have you written specific songs about this war?
I haven't written any, but I have so many that I've been singing for so many years that are still talking about today, you know, and I thank God for those who wrote them and some that I've written to have them, because this is what it comes down to. We don't want to write another one. We want to stop singing the ones we have.
Richie Havens and Congressmember Sheila Jackson Lee, who has introduced a resolution to repeal any authorization for war. Can you explain the resolution, Congressmember Jackson Lee?
I believe when we first debated the war resolution in October that the Congress, the body that is supposed to declare war on behalf of the American people, did not have all the facts. I think it is important, as the world gathers today, for the American people's voices to be heard and the Congress to reflect the voices of the American people. I believe the resolution should be repealed so that we can, on the facts we have, debate the question of war and peace.
The chair of the NAACP, Julian Bond, is now taking the stage.
And in doing so, joined a growing chorus of Americans and others across the globe. We are fearful of the effects of an attack on Iraq. We're concerned about collateral damage to our economy and our civil liberties. We're suspicious of the motives of our government. We're opposed both to unilateral action and to policy, however multinational, in pursuit of empire, not world peace. Those of us gathered here today differ in many, many different ways. But by our presence here, we share an enduring love of our country, an abiding faith in its institutions, its traditions, and its love of liberty. One of those traditions is the right, the responsibility, and the requirement to examine the action of our leaders, to call them to account, to oppose them when they are wrong. And today they are wrong, and we are right to protest here today. We know that the Bush administration directed its energies toward removing Saddam Hussein since just after the tragedy of September 11th, although little evidence then or now connects Iraq with the attack or their sponsors. And we know that concentration on war with Iraq was contrived, at least in part, as a political strategy designed to win the recent midterm congressional elections. From a moral point of view, it was shameless. It served to obscure the erosion of our civil liberties, assaults on justice and equality, the evaporation of pensions and retirement benefits, the shift in our economy from surplus to growing deficit, the calamity of corporate crime, and it concealed record unemployment. On September 11th, President Bush spoke here in New York before the United Nations, reassuring our allies and our enemies alike that multilateralism, cooperation, would be the hallmarks of his approach to Iraq. But just 8 days later, the administration announced a frightening new doctrine, preemption, erasing for the first time the distinction between preemptive and preventive war, and also erasing our moral standing across the globe. Now, to their presumption of preemption, we answer no. No. Not when an attack on Iraq may result in use of weapons of mass destruction. No, not when an invasion of Iraq may induce that country to transfer weapons of mass destruction to other groups. No, not when Iraq does not appear to present any imminent threat, and while Osama bin Laden still does. In opposition to the war, we joined a distinguished group of patriotic Americans and others around the globe,
We've heard 2 million in the streets of Rome, 2 million in the streets of London, and who knows how many million are stretched out before me here. War with Iraq will not make us safer. Instead, it will inflame anti-U.S. sentiment. What will our response be when others go to war? Will we say to them, do as we say, not as we do? This war will cost billions of dollars at a time when funding for education, environment, health care are already at risk. We're already engaged in a war against terrorism, which is far from over.
NAACP speaking on the stage just a few yards from here. I'm backstage with Tamina Royal, who is here from the Revolutionary Association of Women of Afghanistan. Tamina, welcome to the program. I'm so glad to have you with us. Tell us why you need still to have your back to the camera.
Because we still in Afghanistan have the domination of fundamentalists, the Northern Alliance fundamentalists in the current government, and they are misogynists, they are terrorists, they are anti-democracy. They're not any different than in their mentality than Taliban or other fundamentalists.
Now, our listening audience and watching audience may be wondering, but didn't the Americans go to war in Afghanistan? Didn't we get rid of the misogynist Taliban? Why still the conditions you're describing? What have been the repercussions of the U.S. intervention there?
Unfortunately, whatever incidents that happened in Afghanistan after the 11th of September, including the U.S. bombing, which of course killed thousands of innocent people, the situation in Afghanistan did not change in a radical way that the people expected. None of those root out terrorism in Afghanistan, none of those root out fundamentalism in Afghanistan. It was simply the replacement of one fundamentalist regime, Taliban, with the other Northern Alliance. And that smashed the dreams and hopes of our people for a really democratic Afghanistan.
So as you watch the U.S. people again anticipate possibly another intervention in another country, what do you think and what's your message to the people here today?
We think that simply if you look at Afghanistan, the result can be maybe the same as if there is the war happens in Iraq. It's happening under the name of war and terrorism, under the name of bringing democracy to that country. We don't believe that terrorism can be rooted out, can be eradicated by getting rid of Saddam Hussein or his regime. We know that it's all over the world. There are many other countries, and the system, the network, the ideology have to be killed, have to be rooted out. That cannot be by bombing this or that country.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
We have just heard from Democracy Now! Co-host Juan Gonzalez that thousands of people have taken over 3rd Avenue and are marching north. The crowd stretches at least 15 blocks from 44th Street to 59th Street. The police have just simply given up. Remember, they would not give a permit for a march. Well, the people have taken the permission themselves. We're now going to go to the streets of Baghdad, where Mei Ying Welsh will bring us a report.
A stream of worshippers pays their respects to Baghdad's famous gold-plated mosque, the Kadhimiya Shrine. And as the Security Council debates the Blix report, a debate which could set the U.S. on a course for war, Iraqis are praying for peace.
داعين الله أن يهديهم ليعودوا إلى صوابهم وإلى رشدهم فنرجو من الله أن يتركنا في سلامنا مع شعبنا مع أناسنا تاركين كل شيء ولم نقصده.
Yet as Iraq prays for peace, it is prepared also for war. Nearly one-third of Iraq is trained in the use of weapons and emergency first aid, a fact proudly displayed in this parade of the Al-Quds Army, a force of 7 million civilian volunteers. Military training is available everywhere, and the government provides a gun to any Iraqi who desires one. In addition to giving out guns, the government is handing out food. The Trade Ministry took the unusual step of handing out 3 months of food rations in advance. Abbas Hassan Salim is storing up enough food and essentials to get his family of 8 through January, February, and March.
اللي نخزنها بالبيت هو يعني بالظروف هاي النفط الغاز مثلا المواد الغذائيه الطحين التمن الشكر يعني هاي المواد كلها اللي نخزنها بالبيت.
His children don't have to ask why the family is storing so much food. They already know. Here at Luna Park, Baghdad's biggest amusement park, Parents come to relax and get their kids' minds off war. They say sometimes it's hard to reassure children who've already had the experience of bombing. Here, for one day, fear is a thrill, and screaming is fun. The most popular ride is called Falling to Death. Perhaps it's a fitting choice for war-weary Iraqis who've developed a sense of resignation to fate.
ما نخاف من بوش ولا من غير بوش لانه عندنا فد ايمان بداخلنا انه الموت والحياه هو بامر الله سبحانه وتعالى مو بيد بوش ولا بيد اي احد وكلنا بالاخير كلنا اموات احنا ونوقف قدام الله سبحانه وتعالى الفقير والزنقين والحي والكبير والضخم والهاي كلها قدام الله سبحانه وتعالى توقف يوم الحساب.
Maying Welsh, Free Speech TV, Baghdad.
And that report from Maying Welsh from the streets of Baghdad. We are right behind the stage, and the crowds go for dozens of blocks. Ted Glick is one of the organizers of this massive protest. Ted Glick, can you describe what's happening just two avenues away?
I was just over on 3rd Avenue and 51st Street. There were thousands and thousands, perhaps tens of thousands of people. They are not just on the sidewalks. They are on the streets. The cars are also on 3rd Avenue. People are walking next to the cars, in between the cars, going north. There are easily several thousand people lined up going on 51st Street, going from 3rd Avenue towards Lexington. This is huge. There are tremendous numbers that are trying to get to this rally. And if there was a march, who knows? There may be 500,000 people here. Who knows? It's hard to tell.
Can you describe the containment tactics that the police have been using for the people at this rally?
Well, they've set up these pens, which makes it very difficult for people to interact with one another except within the pen where they are. They've not allowed us to have porta potties, people who have knees that have to be taken care of. People who leave a pen probably will not get back to it unless they have very good negotiating skills with the police. There's been lots of problems with the way that they have dealt with this. It seems to us there's a clear instruction from top levels in Washington, D.C. to make this look as small as possible and as fragmented as possible. But as we're seeing, as I just saw on 3rd Avenue, people are not buying that. People are coming out in massive numbers today in New York City for peace.
How many television cameras or major news networks have you seen along the way?
I've seen at least 20, 25 cameras. I haven't been looking for them. There's over 200 press that were credentialed as of yesterday, and I know there have been some since then.
You know, it's interesting. I've also heard CNN has established a peace beat covering the anti-war activities, but that high-level people within the U.S. government have been calling CNN to protest this peace beat. Let's go to Laura Flanders behind the stage.
Thanks, Amy. I'm Laura Flanders. I'm here with Khalid Lamada, who is with the Muslim American Society. And just a moment ago, one of your colleagues spoke on the stage. He made a kind of veiled threat about upcoming elections and the Muslim vote.
Yeah, actually, I believe as a Muslim in America, we count for voting. And I believe we make a difference in the last vote. But I believe every Muslim American, he's going to think before he put his next vote. And our message today, like everybody else, no for war, but we ask him if we trying to implement the civil rights in Iraq, how come we're going to take it off here?
Tell me more about the situation of life for Muslim Americans right now under the U.S. Patriot Act.
Okay, I believe that Muslim American, like any American, they are worried about the civil rights we are taking off for nowadays. And it's more threat because the media is like growing anti-Muslim messages. And I believe as a Muslim American in America, and I work with different faiths, different persons, they know who we are. But when they hear every message, like every morning, like in different news station, I believe it will grow up something. So it really like alarms us.
All right, Khalid, thank you so much. Back to Amy Goodman and the stage.
And we're going to turn now to Phyllis Venice of the Institute for Policy Studies on the stage.
General of the United Nations, and told him that we were here on behalf of the 660 cities around the world where people are marching in the streets. We met to say that we stand with the United Nations as an instrument of peace and not a tool for war. What happened in the Security Council yesterday when the French foreign minister said that the UN must be a tool of peace and not a tool of war, and the chamber burst into applause? It had never happened in the history of the United Nations. It's George Bush that is isolated in the world. It's not us. We are the American people. We are part of a global movement. We are building a new internationalism with the United Nations as a part, saying no to war. The people of the world are saying no to war. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Phyllis. We now have Councilman Charles Barron, who's been willing to stand up and speak out on these issues. Councilman Barron.
This is KPFA or KPFB, Berkeley, KFCF, Fresno.
Thank you very much. Want to say on behalf of black youth in East New York, on Latino youth in this nation, we will not go to war for a selected president who wasn't even elected. No blood for oil. No blood for oil. And we are telling the Bush administration, follow the world. The whole world said no war. We will not fight a war in our name. And hundreds of thousands are out here today to say no to war. We don't care if you put forth Condoleezza Rice or Colin Powell. They do not represent the black community. We say no to war. We say no to war. We say no to war. So we want everybody to stay warm. And if Bush wants to fight Saddam, tell him to get on a plane, drop himself over there, and fight him himself. No to war.
It is my great honor to help you warm up a little more. As a poet, I am thrilled to introduce to you our very own poets from Deaf Poetry Jam, Steve Coleman and Soher Hamad. They give you poetry in the tradition of June Jordan, Sonia Sanchez, Audrey Lorde. Please welcome our poets from Deaf Poetry Jam, Steve Coleman and Soher Hamad. I will not dance to your war drum. I will not lend my soul nor my bones to your war drum. I will not dance to your beating. I know that beat. It is lifeless. I know intimately that skin you are hitting. It was alive once and hunted, stolen, stretched. I will not dance to your drummed up war. I will not pop, spin, break for you. I will not hate for you or even hate you. Especially, I will not die for you. I will not mourn the dead with murder nor suicide. I will not side with you nor dance to bombs because everyone else is dancing. Everyone can be wrong. Life is a right, not collateral or casual. I will not forget where I come from. I will craft my own drum, gather my beloved near, and our chanting will be dancing. Our humming will be drumming. I will not be played. I will not lend my name nor my rhythm to your beat. I will dance and resist and dance and persist. This heartbeat is louder than death. Your war drum ain't louder than this breath.
There is a terrorist threat in America, and we can barely detect that our country's been wrecked by barbarians, derelict clerics with exotic names like Trent Lott and Catherine Harris. I'm going to Paris